Have you any time during this week had this kind of go through your mind? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to talk with you a little bit about that today. I don't know that I'm necessarily going to say anything that is going to rock your world today, but I do ask that you listen in your heart and see if God says something to you today that may rock your world. Because I'm not going to talk that long. But what I have to say, I think is very important. Fact is, a lot of times, a lot of days, I hear a lot of dragging and complaining and grumping, and I guess what? I'm in a room with myself. You have that going on? We feel beat down and discouraged and hope deprived. There's a reason. I want to talk about that reason today. The most important thing that I have to say to you today is this. We have got to find our hearts. We have got, can you want me to repeat that? We've got to find our hearts. Not the cold, hard, calloused hearts, but the warm, soft, caring, sensitive hearts. Because if you don't get that today, nothing else I say is going to make any sense. The first step in finding our hearts, I believe, is experiencing and walking in freedom. Because that's what the Bible says we were made for. If you look at Galatians, it says it was for freedom. Freedom that you and I were set free. Truth is, a lot of times, in a lot of days, a lot of weeks, you and I have been like watching an episode of The Walking Dead. We're numb. We're just getting through to the next thing. And it's because our hearts are lost. We're not lost. Don't hear me saying that. But there's something that's missing. We've been dead people walking. We've been moving between something like the manic and the melancholy, where we do stuff to do stuff because it's how we find importance in the world. We got to do something. And then we swing the other direction and we are just depressed. And we don't know what to do. And we can't even pick up a finger to go do anything. You know why it's like that? I want to read a story from the Gospels. It's about a guy that you and I might, we might want to say, oh, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I think it has a lot more to do with you and I than we are willing to confess, at least in public. So let's read the story. It's a story about what happened when Jesus came back to the side of the lake near a place called Gennesaret. It says in Mark chapter 5, they went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, dead man walking. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and he fell on his knees in front of him and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him already, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. But there's a large herd of pigs that was feeding on the hill, nearby hillside, and the demons begged Jesus to send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. And he gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. And the herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. And those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed in his right mind. And then they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. And then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. And as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. And Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So looking at this story, what are some things that we need to see and look at? There are some real simple applications. First, bondage is real and it's palpable. This man who lived in the tombs, he was not free. He had no internal freedom. He had no external freedom. He was in bondage. It was real. There were forces acting upon him that he was no longer able to confront or deal with. And it directed his life, what little life he had. Now we have no idea. There is nothing in Scripture that tells us how this man came to this place. But if he is like you and me, and I think he is, was, there are some things that are common that get us to a place where we no longer have control. One is we agree with lies. We agree with what the world, the flesh, and the devil says about who we are and who God is. And when we agree with those lies, we take the first step towards finding ourselves in a place where we no longer have any control. We no longer are able to live in freedom. We find ourselves in bondage because we agreed with something that was not true. It was a lie. Meant to deceive us, meant to take us to this place so we would no longer have freedom, no longer have courage, and be all the things that we've talked about this morning. We cannot agree with lies. Number two, sins that become habits in our lives. You could say it's a part of what I just said, but the reality is, once we start doing things that we know do not please God, we know do not help us, do not serve others, the things that we know we ought not be doing, but then we begin to do, the little things that we think no one else sees, that no one else will know, when we let those sins become a part of who we are, they take root, and then we find very soon they have us, we no longer have them. That is bondage. Bondage is real. It's not a story. It's not a pretend thing. It is real. We lose the ability to function as free people when we let these things influence us. I don't know what made that man who he was, but I know that whatever he did, it was real and it was serious because he didn't have one of those demons. He had a whole slew of them. So it wasn't just one thing, it was many things. And it's just that easy for people like you and me too. Because we think, like this culture we live in, that we are the ones who are in charge. That we're bigger, we're smarter, we're better, and we can do what we want to when we want to. We know when to reel it in. Guess what? No, we don't, because we never should have taken the step in the first place. Agreeing with lies, playing with sin, and then through circumstance, there are times where we find ourselves under the control of other people, and we have nothing to say about it. That's how we act. That's how we live. So we become complainers. And you've heard me quote, I love this quote, Maya Angelou. You have to be careful because when you become a complainer, you're telling the bully that there's a victim in the house. So whenever we start complaining, what we're saying is we have no power and we are victims. And we are not victims, and Jesus did not die for a bunch of victims. Okay. However we arrive, at bondage. It's real. It controls us. And the funny thing is this. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way. What did Jesus say was the ultimate, in fact, done deal end of all those spiritual entities that were in control of people that he cast out? What is their end result? They are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They're already judged. It was a done deal. Somebody is letting the inmates be in charge of the institution. And when we allow ourselves to be in bondage, guess who is doing that? You and me. This is the international symbol for I am going under and I need help. The inmates are in charge and we got to do something about the inmates being in charge. That man could not do anything about the inmates that were in charge of his life other than go to Jesus. And that's what he did. Good news is this. We know the judge. And that's my next point. And Jesus has the authority to evict the inmates. He can get rid of them. And that's what we need to do. We need to acknowledge that freedom, just like it was for that man in the story, is real. And it's shocking when we allow Jesus to evict the inmates. And we can have that. Because he has the authority to do that. Do we live like that? Are we willing to let him come and be the authority so that we won't be in bondage anymore and that we'll have the freedom that he has for us? The good news is this. One of the things that he said when he left, if you look at the end of Mark's gospel, okay, Mark's gospel is just a wee bit different from the end of Matthew. It has a statement that a lot of people aren't real sure about, but it does have an interesting twist to it. So instead of just saying, as you go into the world, make disciples, he says, guess what? You will have the authority that Jesus had. Go back and read it sometime. Guess what that authority is? It's the authority to kick out the inmates. It's the authority to walk the kingdom of God into wherever we go. It's the authority to live like Jesus lived. That has been given to you and me. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to walk around feeling like we're being whipped on by everybody and everything, both internal and external. We can have freedom. We do not have to live like we are not in control. And lastly, one of the things we see in this story is that Jesus told this man, even though he wanted to go with Jesus, he said, no, it is more important for you to go back home and tell your story. When Jesus does this in our lives, we have got to go tell the story. And what happened when the man told the story? Now, the funny thing is, the people in Gennesaret and around, they weren't thrilled, were they? One of the things people have thought was one of the reasons why they weren't thrilled was because all their livelihood just went down the hill and into the water. They raised pigs. Town's pigs were gone. Would you mind leaving? We don't want this to happen again because it hurts our pocketbooks. But there's power in the story when we do what Jesus told us. And he told the man to go tell the story back at home. And when he did, people were amazed because they knew the story. They might have known all those choices that that man made. They may have known the things that he did that were not right. They may have known whatever got him to the point where he was eventually just totally out of control. Totally acted upon by forces in a society. Everything about it, the world, the flesh, and the devil, all came to bear upon him, and he was a dead man walking. They knew that story. When they saw this man come back and talk about this Jesus, they were amazed. And when people see change, they get amazed. You know why people don't get amazed around us enough? It's because we're acting like we got it all together. And we're not willing to be honest about when Jesus comes in and delivers us and changes us, we didn't want anybody to know that we weren't changed. We don't want them to know that we had warts, so we don't say anything. So whenever things happen and he does free us, we don't want them to know, because then it means there was something wrong with us in the first place. And we're Christians, and that's not supposed to be who we are. But the good news is, there is power. Not only in the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus to free us, but whenever we go tell, there's power in that too. Because there's grace that comes through it all. The mercy and the grace that we have through Jesus. So I'm kind of done. I want you to listen to something. This is a song that I have known for a long time. Maybe you've heard it too. I don't know. Maybe you've never heard it. But what I want you to do is I want you to hear this story from a different vantage point. And I want you to put yourself in the story just as the character that's singing the story in the song has done. So I'm going to ask you, you can look at the screen, all you're going to see is the words to the song. Or you can close your eyes and you can listen to the song and hear the story of the man of the tombs. And whenever that song is over, I just want you to have a minute or two of silence. And if you need to write something on a card that you got when you came in, then write that, because, you know, we pray with you about those things. But we're going to have our own altar where we are this morning. And you know that we're always here to pray with you if you need that.
Man of the tombs lives in a place where no one goes. He turns at himself, lives with a pain that no one knows. He counts himself dead among the living. He knows no mercy and no forgiving. Deep in the night, he's driven to cry out loud. Can you hear him cry out loud? Possessed by an unseen enemy, he breaks every chain, stakes his freedom for being free. Shame and shamelessness equally there, like a random toss of a coin in the air. Man of tombs, he's driven to cry out loud. Underneath this thing that I've become, a fading memory of flesh and blood, I curse the womb, I bless the grave. I lost my heart, I cannot be saved. Like those who fear me, I'm afraid. Like those I've heard, I can feel pain. Now before my sin, these stones that cut against my skin. Some try to touch me, but no one can. Man of the tombs I am. Down at the shoreline, two sets of footprints meet. One voice is screaming, other voice begins to speak. In only a moment and only a word, the evil departs like a thundering bird. Man of the tombs, this cry out loud. Underneath this thing that you've become, I see man, flesh and blood. I give you life beyond God I am. Now and seated, clean in spirit and healthy of mind, and of the tombs he begs to follow but must stay behind. He'll return to his family with stories to tell of mercy and madness, of heaven and hell. Soon he will cry aloud underneath this thing that I once was. Now I'm a man of flesh and blood. I have a life beyond the grave. I found my heart, I can now be safe. No need to fear, I am not afraid. This man of sorrows took my pain. He comes to take away sin and bear its marks upon his skin. I'm telling you this story because man of the tombs I was. Man of the tombs I was.
Father, in the silence, I ask that you would help us desire you like water in the midst of a desert where there is no water. That, Lord, we would desire to get our hearts back, and that we would know that you are the one, the only one, who can bring freedom and joy and life. Lord, I ask that you would move us to choose you, and that we would find more in you than we could ever find anywhere else. Renew us, Lord. Give us back hearts full. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.